Investment Fund. The series of Southern California wildfires this fall will cost an estimated $335 million in catastrophic losses, according to Allstate Insurance. Light sweet crude trading at $91.24 a barrel, and on Wall Street at this hour, the Dow down 26, NASDAQ up 6, and the S&P 500 down 2. There's more on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Christine Kendall.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. It's the Week in Review. All topics are valid. There's a lot on my mind. I also very much want to hear what's on your mind this week. Well, what's on my mind? Well, of course, here in Washington, we have the end of the battle. The Democrats tried their best, they tell us, and they all are passing their bills and going home. Some things that are better than the Republican Congress, but clearly not as good as it would be if we had a Democratic president, if we didn't have a filibustering Senate. But there's the energy bill, there's the alternative minimum tax fix, which, of course, the Republicans were determined to protect offshore tax havens for hedge fund managers, rather than pay off this little tax gift. Then, of course, there's the war in Iraq, which got funded. At the end, it wasn't even close in the Senate, some 74 to 20-something. Russ Feingold led the charge. Good for Russ Feingold. I always like watching him lead the charge. There are some good things that have happened. The FOIA bill, the Freedom of Information Act, has been made stronger. That's something that we've needed for a long time. It's about the only way to get information from this administration. The original Freedom of Information Act, in fact, said that they had to give the documents within 2 weeks, but in practice it can sometimes take years. Now at least the government officials will have to pay for it if they don't get it done in 2 weeks. What else is going on? The presidential campaign is around the corner. I have my thoughts on each of the candidates. And I'm still having a hard time deciding. It's wild. I really haven't had this hard a time deciding since, I don't know that I ever have. Maybe 92 was the last time I had a hard time deciding in primary. We'll talk about that. And there is some good news also on the CIA tapes front. We have a judge. Oh, I'm sure he'll be overturned eventually. But for now, we have a judge who's holding a hearing on the destruction of the tapes. He ordered them not to be destroyed, and they were. Remember all the Republicans talking about the rule of law when it came to Bill Clinton's sex life and knowing all the details about it and saying that if he misled a judge, he should be punished and lose his law license and held in contempt and blah, 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 blah. Well, here we have a case of torture approved at the highest levels, Dick Cheney and Dick Cheney's lackey, George Bush Jr. And that tape was destroyed in contravention of a court order. So this isn't a question of, I don't want to tell my wife I'm sleeping around. It's a question of, I don't want to tell the American people that I ordered someone to be tortured. And the judge is insisting that the administration follow the law. Again, the administration will fight back and say, no, we're above the law. And we can talk about that this hour. There's also the news that the Saudi king has pardoned the woman who was raped but was alone with another man as she was getting pictures from her old boyfriend. The 200 lashes have been rescinded. This way the king looks good in the foreign press, and they don't have to change the law that mistreats women. I don't know, I'm of two minds about this. On the one hand, I'm proud of the fact that public pressure still works. It's only because of the stories around the country, including right here on the Horn, about this horrible, horrible thing. The judge, of course, ordered 90 lashes for her after she and her boyfriend were raped. and then increased it to 200 when she had the audacity to appeal. The lawyer lost his license. There was an international outcry, and the lawyer got reinstated as well. So I am glad that pressure works. I'm glad to hear it. On the other hand, I often wonder whether we don't hold women to a lesser standard than we do issues of race. I mean, think about this here. When you had apartheid in South Africa, virtually everyone on the left supported sanctions, as did I, even though, you know, there were arguments that sanctions hurt the poor people of South Africa, and I'm sure that's true. But it did serve to function to pressure the government to finally open up and do the right thing. I supported that. But in Saudi Arabia, in some ways, and it's a different kind of prejudice, but in some ways women are treated worse than blacks were in South Africa. They can't leave their homes without a male relative. They can't leave their homes. It's not just a question of not being able to drive. They are functionally in prison. That's pretty severe. And yet I don't see a worldwide campaign for sanctions for Saudi Arabia. Of course, there are some differences. Saudi Arabia's got a lot of oil, which means it's impervious to criticism, right? Doesn't matter that 15 of the 19 hijackers were Saudi. No, that doesn't matter. So good for the king. He does bow down to public pressure. In fact, it suggests that we can continue the pressure, not just for this one horrible case of mistreatment of this woman, but for all women in Saudi Arabia. And while we're there, Sudan as well. The teddy bear story, unfortunately, you know the story, the teddy bear named Mohammed and the woman that was going to go to jail for it. Again, pressure came, and so they got rid of the one story, but that doesn't mean that mistreatment of women isn't real, just as the mistreatment of people in Darfur is real. But back in the United States, the media is coming under more and more one media control. The FCC voted today, in fact, to allow newspapers to also own TV stations in major cities. Terrific, as if we don't have enough media consolidation. But it's all just sort of going under the radar, right? You got the FCC, you've got the presidential campaign. Which do you think is going to get more press? And I've also been thinking, and I'd love for you folks to comment on this, just about how it is we persuade people. How it is that so many of us refuse to see facts right in front of our face. And I mean right and left. I mean everything from people on the right who cannot conceive of the fact that evolution happened. So what they do is they take every single scientific fact and they twist it and they turn it and they push it and they shove it and they disregard the ones that they don't want to believe. And soon all of science supports creationism. I have one listener who will never, ever consider an alternative to the idea that abortion is murder. I have another listener who, no matter what you tell him, no matter how many engineers talk to him, is firmly convinced that the World Trade Center was blown up by explosives, even though there's zero evidence of that. I have a cousin who will tell you that every time you raise taxes, you get less revenue in. He believes that. Oh, people on the right wing believe that. And it doesn't matter what you tell him. You say, hello, Clinton had surpluses and Bush had deficits, and here are the figures. And he'll go back and say, no. Every time you cut taxes on the rich, the government makes more money. Now, it doesn't matter that it's not true to him, because for him, in his mind, it is true. There's some things that people take very personally. And for them, it's true no matter what. And that's true if you're of a certain ethnic group sometimes. I have one listener who I've been arguing about with regard to the war in Kosovo. I have other listeners that I've talked about on Israel and on really all kinds of things. And the question I think for people to remember is look at different sources. Certainly don't just listen to me. I wouldn't want you to just listen to me. But look at a variety of sources from a variety of backgrounds on any subject, particularly where people disagree as to basic facts. You know, is the world round or is the world flat? Well, I'm sure that the people who believe in flat Earth can bring a lot of evidence to bear, but the better evidence is that it's round. And I guess I'm thinking about all these different things because I plan to do something quite extreme tomorrow, even for me. And that is invite a professor of New Testament theology, a former president of the Evangelical Theological Seminary, a person who goes on radio stations across the country and, because most talk radio is right-wing, gets adoring praise as he argues the divinity of Jesus. And I kind of can't believe that I'm going to challenge him on that. Not that I don't believe in my challenge, but I'm not so sure I believe in the quest. If you want to believe in anything, as long as you're not harming anyone, that's my belief. It's an interesting concept, and it makes me think about where our beliefs come from and what information we buy. And I'd like to throw it out to you as we go to break and ask you, how do you know whom to believe? How do you know what sources to take? How do you know when you see two factual descriptions of an event and you weren't there and they come from different sides? How do you know who to trust? It's not an easy question, but I'm curious to know from you what you think about this. The toll-free number is 877-4HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. We'll be right back after this.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
If you missed Strictly Confidential last week, you missed Gay Fashion Tips.
So I'm sitting here in my Florida State University t-shirt and my pajama bottoms.
You missed what gay DJs name their dogs.
Disco and Boogie are their names.
You missed Lesbian Bible Study.
And that's my favorite line, too, out of the Bible, thou shalt not lie with a man, so I don't, so what's up with that?
You missed Kiss and Tell.
And this big, tall, handsome Air Force sergeant bent down and kissed me, and I didn't wash my lips for weeks.
You missed The Pursuit of Happiness.
Are you attached, Mom?
Well, see, now this is Strictly Confidential, isn't it?
Tune in Monday through Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern for Strictly Confidential, gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered conversation radio, exclusively on the Head On Radio Network. You know you want to.
There's a place where a total stranger will give their blood to save your life. There's a place where someone you never knew will save your child from drowning. A place where people will give you food and shelter after a flood. There's a place where, when you need it most, someone will reach out their hand, put it across your shoulder and say, "Everything's going to be okay." That place is called America, where we look out for each other. And it's up to us to keep it that way. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org today.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. So I'm thinking about my show tomorrow, where I'm going to debate the divinity of Jesus. And, of course, it takes me back to my youth. I may talk a little bit about this tomorrow. But when I was a kid in Nashville, Tennessee, I had people try to convert me, from about the age of 3 on. And, I had to be prepared. I had to be ready, you know. Why don't you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And why don't you celebrate Christmas? And, you know, as a kid, I got the easy answer. And it's one I probably will address tomorrow with the good preacher, which is, my Bible tells me the Messiah will come when there's peace throughout the world. I don't see peace throughout the world. The Messiah hasn't come. QED. Quo Eris demonstratum, the proof is done. And that actually served me well as a little kid for a long time. But as I got older, I realized that it's really not about my beliefs. I mean, I'm very comfortable in my beliefs. It's about what beliefs you can talk about publicly. And my mom taught me at a very early age that you're really not supposed to talk about religion with people who have different religions unless they're very secure in their religion. Because otherwise you can offend someone and they can get quite upset with you. So if someone's not trying to convert you, probably best not to talk about religion. Religion, after all, is a crutch for many people. And that sounds horrible. In fact, when Jesse Ventura, governor of Minnesota, said, in effect, that religion is a crutch for many people, he was pretty much run out of office. But when I say that, I actually don't mean it pejoratively, as pejorative as it sounds. Call it maybe not a crutch, but a staff or a rod or, I don't know, a balcony, whatever it is. People rely on their religion. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, depending on what the religion teaches. If the religion teaches love of fellow man, if the religion teaches, you know, looking out for the poor, if the religion teaches fellowship, if the religion teaches humanity, if the religion teaches that all of us have a place in the world to come as long as we're good to each other, if the religion helps us in times of trouble, then it's a terrific crutch. Crutches hold us up. They hold us up. They keep us when we are lame, when we have casts on our legs. Crutches help us walk. That's okay. Now, religion can be very dangerous, as everyone in the Horn audience knows, as everyone in America knows, particularly fundamentalist religion, whether it be Christian, Muslim, or Jew, whether it be Hindu or Buddhist, or any other fundamentalist religion, any time that people don't want to think. I'm going to agree with Suzanne there in the chat room. Anytime people don't want to think. And so I'm just going to do tomorrow's show with a caveat. If you are very happy with your belief, and you don't want your world to be changed, don't listen tomorrow. Just don't listen in. That's okay. I mean, this difference I think, from people who have beliefs in worldwide consequences. I mean, if you believe that evolution didn't happen, you're a danger to America. Because then you don't want science to be taught in America, and we can't have antibiotics that that help cure people that rely on the evolution of bacteria. But if you want to believe that someone is your God, then who am I to disabuse you of that notion? So, I go into tomorrow with trepidation. Let's go to Gene on line one. Gene, welcome to the Inside Scoop. Welcome, Gene.
Welcome. I was, the reason I called is you said that how do you tell when I last heard you, you said how do you tell what's true and what's false under...
How do you tell, Gene?
Well, I don't know if I do. I'm about ready to tell you that maybe it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I mean, it matters for some things, but it doesn't matter for others.
Well, I agree with you. I agree with you that it matters for some things and it doesn't matter for others. But when for you does it matter?
It matters... I tell you, it doesn't matter for me when I don't. It doesn't matter anymore when I think that there's no point in trying to convince another person that I'm right. It doesn't matter, or when another person tries to convince me that they're right. It doesn't matter to me. I have my beliefs.
I think, Gene, it depends on the discussion. Because there are times in a discussion when you have a give and take, when people are willing to accept information from someone. One way I think you can tell whether you're having what I call a fair argument or a useful argument or a useful discussion is if the person on the other side is willing to concede a point or two while at the same time disagreeing with you. You know, if you find someone on the other side, and again, I'm picking any issue.
Yeah.
Any issue at all, whether it be the divinity of Jesus or right-wing tax cuts or what happened in Kosovo or 9/11, whatever it is, if someone's willing to say, well, you know what, you're right about that, but let me ask you about this. When I hear that, that tells me, okay, this is a person who's thinking, not a person who is basically just giving the spin. And that's usually a person I want to have a discussion with. When I hear someone who's never conceding anything, oftentimes I feel like it's a useless conversation.
Well, I guess that's my point, really, is to say if there's give and take, then I'm willing to give a person a little bit of slack. But I mean, we're not in that situation anymore. It's generally what, as far as politics is concerned. Now I just happened to read a story on the fact that Dennis Kucinich's brother was found dead.
Really? When?
This was reported 2 hours ago.
Oh, my God.
It's probably in your email. There were no
signs. That's terrible. I don't know anything about his brother. Well, what do we know?
According to the article, there were no signs of foul play. I'm bringing it up right now. I guess his other, Perry Kucinich, brother of U.S. Representative Dennis Kucinich, was founded Wednesday morning in his east side home. I guess the other brother found him. This is about nine. It was, Perry Kucinich found face down by an another brother Larry Kucinich at about 9 a.m.
Do they think there's foul play or is this a heart attack?
At the end, they say there are no signs of foul play.
Okay, so it could be a natural death. I mean, I don't even know how old this brother is. Is he in his 50s? I mean, Dennis Kucinich isn't that old. 60s maybe, and he could be an older brother. I don't know.
I don't know either. It's up on the blog if you want to.
Okay. All right. I'll take a look at it in the next break. Definitely.
All right. Definitely. Or I'll, if you hold on for just a second. I'll throw the chat. I'll throw the link back up in the chat room.
Sounds
but,
good.
I just, you know, now this situation with me, after reading this and this whole thing about the fire this morning at the vice president's residence, where apparently, from what I've heard, and I haven't really dug into this very much, but some documents were destroyed.
Uh-oh.
Now, are these impeachment documents? Now,
probably.
No.
You know, the vice president hides virtually everything he does. He's the most secretive vice president in the most secretive. I would not be surprised if that fire is the 18-and-a-half-minute gap equivalent for Watergate. I would not be surprised at all.
And it just, it's circumstantially, this strikes me as really, really bizarre. Because when I listen to my conspiratorial self, it's like, gee, there's no fire, nothing, no evidence to back you up now, Dennis. Let me just make it clear to you that I think you ought to back off this impeachment deal, blah, blah, blah. Maybe, but that's my concern.
Oh, you think Cheney had something to do with Kucinich's brother? Ooh,
well,
boy, now that...
Huh? I shouldn't think that, but, you know, my conspiratorial self says, gee, this is kind of weird.
Look, everything needs to be investigated. Certainly, if there's a death that's unexplained, it needs to be investigated. I guess I will try not to jump to those conclusions. Listen, no one believes in the evilness of Darth Cheney more than I do. And I certainly think he's up to destroying documents. In fact, I think we may well find that he's the one who ordered the destruction of the CIA torture tape. That would not surprise me at all. This fire may well have to do with destruction of documents. But what I try to do, I guess, on my show is I try to distinguish between things I think may be true and things I know to be true.
I guess my point was, at this point right now, where my head is at, does it matter anymore whether it's true or whether it's not? Because I'm feeling like, gee, even if this was just a natural passing.
People die.
Yeah, people die. I shouldn't panic over this. But with frustration, I find myself just saying, you know, I don't feel safe giving them the benefit of the doubt. I really don't. And this is what really, I realize, as, well, you're a lawyer. I'm just an untrained so-and-so. But I'm thinking that the truth to me really depends an awful lot on, am I comfortable with this? Or if I'm not comfortable with this, at least can I see how it could be this way?
I just think, look, and this has to do with my arguments with Sean on the blog and the 9/11 conspiracy people. Look, as far as I'm concerned, there are so many provable things this administration has done. I mean, awful, disgusting things, from sending innocent people to foreign countries to be tortured, for God's sake. You know, spying on hundreds of millions of the American people, looking at our phone bills, looking at our emails, looking at where we go on the Internet, denying American citizens trials, a preemptive war with Iraq, and they tried one with Iran. I don't think that's going to work now. But, you know, based on curveball, one guy's evidence, all of this is absolutely proven.
I don't doubt any of that, Mark.
I guess what I'm saying is, before I go, and Bob, by the way, tells me that Perry Kucinich was an artist who struggled with mental illness. So I'm just throw that out there for whatever it's worth. All I'm saying is, we can speculate all we want. It's kind of fun, but I always want to distinguish between speculation and what we know to be true, because I think sometimes if we combine it too closely, then people take things that are true, like we send innocent people to foreign countries to be tortured, and they mix it with the World Trade Center was blown up by explosives, and then they say all of this is ridiculous, and suddenly the truth gets surrounded by the bathwater of sheer speculation, and it's all seen as ridiculous.
I don't disagree with you, but my point, I guess, is what I'm saying is, in this climate of that we're in right now, it's really, I mean, Congress has, or nothing has been done on the fact, on the things about this administration based on the facts that are true.
And, that's true.
Or nothing.
Well, I don't want to say nothing's been done, but not enough. Not enough.
Not
I mean,
enough
we do have
done.
People, Grove has been held in contempt. We're getting there very slowly. Waxman is doing his investigation. So I won't say nothing, but too little, certainly.
Yeah, and at this point, my nerves are so shot. It's like, I can believe anything. And that's, I think this is probably what the administration has striven for, is that the people are just throwing up their hand and saying, okay, I'm not going to believe anybody.
I think you're right. I think you're exactly right. I think that's exactly what they're striving for, is to mix true constitutional violations, serious constitutional violations, cruel activities, lying to get us into war, along with these crazy stuff, so that the whole public says, you know what, I don't believe anything. Listen, there are people on the right who did this with Bill Clinton. This whole idea that, oh, maybe Vince Foster's death was not a suicide, but was actually a murder by Bill Clinton. That, to me, is in the same vein as, well, maybe, you know, Cheney took a pop at Dennis Kucinich's brother. Now, hey, if evidence points in that direction, I'll go there. I'm not afraid to look at it. But I think that we jump to conclusions based on the fact that we believe people are evil, and therefore we blame every evil event in the world on them. And I just hope we can separate ourselves from that.
I don't disagree with you, but I know I'll make this real quick, and then I got to get off of here. But I think, to me, that this points to an idea that I think is the idea of certain people, maybe both on the left and the right, in the higher ups of either party that say, or maybe even beyond that, that as a country we should not be, you know, to me, this is attacking the bonds of makes America, Americans, you know, trust other Americans. And it's really, this kills me.
Sure.
Because,
well, no, you're absolutely right. It's what Obama, frankly, talks about. It's this fierce partisanship. And yet you fall into a pattern where, and John Kerry tried this, you know, bless his heart. He tried in 2004. He said, I'm going to run a positive campaign. And they're going to smear me, and they're going to try to be partisan, and they're going to try to, you know, attack my service to my country, even though I won several Purple Hearts and was brave, and George Bush was a coward, hiding in his cocaine addiction and wouldn't even show up at the National Guard. I won't bring it up. I will take the high road, and he lost. And so when you have people basically hitting below the belt, kicking you in the groin, you have two choices. And I would venture to you that John Kerry, and also to a lot of extent Al Gore, and I love Al Gore. Frankly, I'd love to see Al Gore over all the people running now. They took the high road, and they lost. And one thing about Bill Clinton, and one thing if I do vote for Hillary, and I may, who knows? I really haven't decided yet. It's because the Clintons know how to play dirty when they need to. And unfortunately, yeah. I happen to think some dirty politics. And when I say dirty, I don't mean illegal. I just mean willing to do negative attacks, willing to, you know, make fun of and mock and ridicule the Republicans, even though it may be a little unseemly. Unfortunately, when you're facing ridicule, when you're facing kicks in the groin, you got to kick a few back. You can't hit above the belt when they're kicking you below the belt, to use the bad boxing language. So
I
think Obama may be too pure. One of the things that concerns me about Obama is if they attack him, will he attack back with enough ferocity? Hillary Clinton will. And that may, at the end of the day, actually get my vote. I've been thinking about that.
Well, I don't disagree with you, but at this point, it's like I don't want to just kick him below the belt. I want to break their legs. Anyway,
and they want to break your legs too, Gene, I assure you. Thanks for calling in, Gene. I appreciate it. Let me go to Alan. Alan, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Yeah, I can't help but think that I can't help but think that John Kerry showed his weakness by not fighting back. Are you there?
Yeah. He showed his what by not fighting back?
Yeah, by John Kerry not fighting back, it just showed, it just looked like he was weak by not.
It looked like he was weak, right. And he was being good, he was being pure, he was doing what at least, you know, the New Testament teaches, which is, you know, turn the other cheek to your enemies. By the way, I should make clear, because there's a comment in the chat room, I certainly don't think Al Gore lost. He won in 2000, but he didn't win by enough to be beyond the margin of cheating. John Kerry also may have won in 2004. The evidence I've seen from Ohio suggests that may be the case. It's a much less sure case. There's no question in my mind Al Gore won. I'm less sure about 2004, frankly. But clearly, they were not. I mean, Bill Clinton won beyond the margin of cheating. And so I just want to make clear in there. But that's the irony. Americans will tell you, as Gene did, that they don't like it when politicians are sniping at each other. They don't want this partisanship. Independents particularly say, I'm turned off by both parties. They're both partisan. They're both yelling at each other, so forth. And yet, when one side goes negative and the other side stays positive, positive guy loses, or at least doesn't win beyond the margin of cheating.
Yeah,
and that's terrible, but it's the way the world works.
Huh?
Go ahead, Alan.
Oh, yeah. Well, the reason why I called is I was wondering, have you talked about the Don Siegelman case in Alabama?
The Don, I'm sorry, it's a bit hard to hear you. Don what case?
Don Siegelman. He was the past governor in Alabama.
Oh, in Alabama, wasn't he? Yeah, he was the governor. Right, that's another, in fact, that I haven't talked about it recently, but I know that in connection with the prosecutor scandal, which I talked about a few months ago, one of the things they wanted to do was make sure they had a prosecutor who was willing to go after him. Are you down there?
I'm from Alabama.
What's your take on the scandal?
Well, it sounds like it's a Republican judge who is married to the campaign advisor to the Republican. So that sounds kind of strange.
That's true, and was definitely out to get this guy. And the prosecutor originally didn't want to go after him, and so they got rid of the prosecutor. No, there's no question in my mind that that particular conviction is extremely politically motivated. And I got to tell you, from people I know at the Justice Department, morale has never been lower. I mean, I don't know how many, 50 years, 100 years, most people don't go back that far, but there's never been a time when prosecutors are less comfortable prosecuting. They're going after, for example, William Jefferson down in Louisiana, Democratic congressman. Now, I have no doubt, based largely, I admit, on $90,000 being in the freezer, but I have no doubt that that man is guilty of bribery. He's a Democrat. Prosecute him. I have no problem with that. But the sad thing is that prosecutors have been doing politically minded crimes for so long, going after people like Siegelman, going after, what state was that? I think it was Missouri, where they had these trumped-up charges right before the election that turned out to be absolutely false, so bad the judge threw them out, and they put in a guy to do it. They've been doing so many politically-minded prosecutions that when they have a legitimate prosecution against William Jefferson, now people in that community are saying, well, you know, I don't know. I don't think he's guilty. Same reason O.J. got off. Not because O.J. wasn't guilty. O.J. was guilty of sin, in my view. But he got off because so many innocent black people have been prosecuted that people just assumed, well, you know, they must all be innocent. So that's the danger when you start making justice political. And the Siegelman case is as clear an example as I can think of.
Yes, and also, they won't turn over his papers or something. That's one of the reasons why they can't go over his case to see if I get him out of prison. Call it a Mendes case or
whose papers? Siegelman's papers or someone else?
Yeah, Siegelman.
Oh, they have his papers and they won't turn them over.
Yeah, something to get him out to try to get out of jail.
I'll tell you something, Alan. I'm going to admit that I don't know everything. I will freely admit that, and that I haven't followed this case as closely as I should. I followed it in connection with the prosecutor scandal. But I really don't know all the facts and details. But I'll tell you this. If you have someone in mind who does know the facts of this pretty clearly, some guest that I could bring on the air, I'd be happy to do a show on it because this is something I haven't explored. and I like to explore everything. So if you think of somebody, yeah, send me an email. You have my email address. It's all you can always get on my website at radioinsidescoop.com, and I'd be happy to do a story on it.
It sounds like a pretty important issue. So like even Karl Rove has his hands in it.
Karl Rove has his hands in all of this. There's no question in my mind. Now, again, I'm distinguishing between facts that I can prove and facts that I truly believe. But I don't have the proof on this. But there's zero doubt in my mind that Karl Rove is beyond all of the prosecutor firings. And how do we know? Well, we know because every time they ask that question, people refuse to answer. They don't say no. And because his fingerprints are all over this. Whenever you had Monica Goodling and she was testifying, it went back to Karl Rove. Alberto Gonzalez, it went back to Karl Rove. Each one of them points at Karl Rove, and Karl Rove won't talk. In fact, he's now been held in contempt, thank God, as he should be, by the Judiciary Committee for not talking. And I hope they go the next step, hold him in inherent contempt and put him behind bars. And I explained on another show the difficulty of that. Basically, they're supposed to go to the D.C. prosecutor, but the president has said he won't allow the prosecutor to be used for that. So they have to use this inherent power, this native power that's in the Constitution they haven't used since 1933. But I think Rove is behind all of this and virtually every dirty trick in this administration. And I think we just need to get him to testify, and I think we'll see it.
Well, it sounds like the U.S. maybe the U.S. Justice Department losing this credibility. What do you think about that?
The U.S. Justice Department what?
The U.S. Justice Department has lost its credibility.
Has lost its credibility? Oh, absolutely it has. That's part of the problem down in Louisiana. Like I said, there I think they are prosecuting a guilty person, William Jefferson, and yet they've so lost their credibility through all these other prosecutions that they may get an acquittal. And frankly, if that jury acquitted him, I'd understand it. I disagree because I think a guilty person should be prosecuted, whether a Democrat or Republican. I think O.J. should have done time, absolutely. But I understand why a jury mistrustful of the police in that community would acquit him. And I could understand. That's part of my fear. And that's why prosecutors that I know, and I know a few of them, are so angry at this administration for politicizing prosecution. I mean, prosecution's a very powerful thing. Look what they did to Bill Clinton. But look what they've done with anyone. I mean, look at Jenna 6. Prosecutors are very powerful creatures. There's Nifong in the Duke case. And for them to do it for political reasons is extremely dangerous. And
what about Scooter Libby?
Well, Scooter Libby is Scooter Libby is not just guilty. What he did is he covered up for Dick Cheney, and it's obvious. All you have to do is look at the article that Joe Wilson, Ambassador Joe Wilson, wrote, and there's Cheney's language all over it. And you could just say, well, no one rid me of this meddlesome ambassador and his meddlesome wife. I mean, Cheney told Libby to go out and get the guy, and he did, and then he lied to the prosecutor. I mean, it's all very, very clear. And why else would Bush pardon him? I mean, Bush said, oh, I'm going to get to the bottom of this, and blah, 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 and he let him go completely. And I love the way he just commuted his sentence. And then, of course, his friends paid all these fines, and so he walks off scot-free. I think that history will show, and this is actually very easy to show, because the evidence is there. Even Special Prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald said there's a cloud over the White House. He's referring to Dick Cheney. And I've just never understood why this hasn't been more, pressed. I think the Congress, for example, the Judiciary Committee, I'd love to see them do an investigation because I don't think it's over. It's not like the president can just pardon him and say, no crime, no foul, move along here, nothing happened here. Yes, treason was committed, but no problem. And please don't look at the vice president. No, I want to see them investigate this. And unfortunately, time's running out. By the time the American people realize what this administration was up to, they've only got a year to go.
Pitiful. I just wish I could have seen him get impeached.
That would have been beautiful. Hey, Alan, thanks for your call. I appreciate it. I want to talk a little bit about the presidential race because I don't know. I haven't had this hard time deciding in a primary, well, in any election, probably in my life. I was going back and I was thinking about it. I mean, I've always wanted the Democrat in the general election, so that's easy. But then I was going back and thinking about in a primary. In 2004, I supported Wesley Clark over John Kerry. It was a very easy choice for me, based on their positions, based on their leadership, based on what they were saying and how well they spoke. And there's no question in my mind General Clark would have been the better choice. In 2000, I was a strong supporter of Al Gore. I've always been a strong supporter of Al Gore. I'd like to see Al Gore run in 2008, but he didn't. Damn you, Al! Stop getting your awards and come save your country! So, Al Gore didn't run, but I supported him in 2000. I supported Bill Clinton in 96. I think he ran unopposed. In 92, I remember having a little bit of a difficult decision between Paul Tsongas, remember him, and Bill Clinton. And I think I cast a vote for Paul Tsongas. So that was a bit of a harder decision on my part. I guess I trusted him a bit more than Bill Clinton. That's probably the hardest primary choice I had to make. In 88, I again supported Al Gore above Michael Dukakis. And in 84, which is before I could vote, but I remember being a big supporter of Gary Hart over Walter Mondale as the man with new ideas. But in this election, I don't know. It's a nice, hard decision for me because I like every single one of them. I mean, how rare is it in politics that instead of having a choice between two evils, you have a choice between seven goods? I mean, I look at Hillary Clinton and I see a woman who is brilliant, very, very smart. No one understands policy more than Hillary Clinton, and I include Bill Clinton in that. I often mention that at Yale Law School, Bill Clinton was third in his class. Hillary Clinton was first. And I don't believe intelligence is a liability. I know that my guest last Sunday and Monday, if you heard that show about politics in the red zone, arguing that Democrats need to be more regular guys and don't want intellectuals. Well, count me out. I love intellectuals. I love people who can handle the complexities of policy. I think if we're having a president of the United States, he or she should be able to handle the complexities of policy rather than letting, you know, the vice president or their political person do all the heavy lifting in the shadows. She clearly knows her stuff. She was slow on the war, absolutely, and wrong there. But I wonder if she can't get more Republican support. And then I look at Barack Obama, and I love hearing him speak. He's by far the most inspiring of everybody. I still remember his speech before the Democratic National Convention, and I came at that point and did a show afterwards and said Obama for president. And young people are clearly very excited by him. Again, I guess I wonder if he could win a general election. I wonder if people would be able to construe him as someone who would never act militarily to defend America's interests. I don't know. I don't know. I also think, I guess, he's young enough that he may have time in the future to run again, maybe a vice presidential choice. Season him a bit. He's definitely a future of the Democratic Party. And a good man. I look at John Edwards, and I love what he says about corporations and their control of America. And it's one note, but it's a very sorely needed note. They have so much power in America, and John Edwards is sounding that note. Now, I think Hillary and Obama will sound that note too, but not in the way that John Edwards will. I have my disagreements with John Edwards on some things. I remember thinking back 4 years ago that he wasn't quite as positive on gay rights as some of the other candidates. He's come around. I also think that, I don't know, it's about time we had a woman or a black man as president. But I like John Edwards. I mean, he also only had one term in the Senate. I don't think he's had quite the experience of a Hillary Clinton, it's kind of Bill Clinton too. But I liked Bill Clinton, and I don't think it's wrong to vote for Hillary based on liking Bill. But I like John Edwards. I like Bill Richardson. I think there's a man with quite a resume. There's a man with quite a lot of experience, with a lot of heart. Not a great speaker, but definitely a good man. And I like Dennis Kucinich. I think he is someone who definitely inspires people with the idea of a world beyond war. I think he's our idealist. He's our thinker. He's how the world should be, but I don't know that he's practical enough to deal with events. I wonder, in a Dennis Kucinich-led government, if America was attacked, would he fight back? I don't know. I think he would. He said he would. I interviewed him. I also don't think he'd win a general election. I like Joe Biden. I think he's also a thinker. He'd be a great Secretary of State. He's someone who definitely takes his time and thinks about things. He was even slower to get out of Iraq than Hillary Clinton. Can't quite forgive him for that. And he's kind of close with the banking industry, which I don't like. But I do think he's a good man. I think he'd be a great Secretary of State. I think he'd be a fine president. And I like Chris Dodd. You know, if Chris Dodd were up in the front runners, I might consider voting for the man. He was a true hero with what he did just this week on the telecom immunity bill. He stood firm against his own party, against Harry Reid, the majority leader of the Senate. And he said, look, we can't give telecommunications companies immunity, because if we do that, then the president can basically order people around to do whatever he wants beyond the Constitution, and then people will just follow through. And it's not just that. Dodd has been consistently on the right side of virtually every question, whether it be the Iraq War or health care or anything else. You look at Dodd's record, and he's right up there. I tell you, like I said, if Dodd were one of the front-running candidates, I might just support him. Who knows? We'll see what happens. This all can change. I don't have to vote in the Iowa caucuses. I'm glad about it because I have more time to decide. But I'm happy with any of the top seven, well, the seven Democratic choices. I don't consider Mike Gravel, to be serious. And then I look at any of the Republican choices, and they all disturb me greatly. Every single one of them disturbs me. All of them I don't trust. I mean, Giuliani will be a corrupt president. It's not just Bernard Kerik. This is a man who I know, this is a guy who I'm sure will allow whoever pays him money to control what he does. I mean, he's also stubborn and inflexible, like our current president, such as when they told him, hey, you know, you might not want to put the command center in the World Trade Center since it had been attacked before. Oh, no, I want it near City Hall. You know, I look at a guy like Fred Thompson, and I think, great, lazy president, just what we need. You know, more lazy than Ronald Reagan, a guy who just wants to be king and let his underlings do the work in secret. I don't want that kind of president. Romney is extremely frightening. I mean, he changes positions on every which way. This is a guy who truly will and do say anything to be president. And what's behind the mask? Who knows? Who knows? He did feel it important to tell the American people his particular stand on Jesus Christ as his Savior, as if that were a political issue. Romney, there is no religious test for government. And Huckabee's worse! Huckabee's worse! Huckabee is really scary because he seems so friendly. And yet Huckabee apparently wants to quarantine all AIDS, people with AIDS in America. And he won't apologize for it? Who's beyond Huckabee is the worst fundamentalist, radical theocratist, if that's a word, in America today. He's a very scary candidate, and not the least of which scary because he seems so friendly. Now, part of me wants Huckabee or Romney to win because I think they'd be so easy to beat by a Democrat. But then if I lost, yikes, might have to move to Canada. Then I look at John McCain. John McCain is every Democrat's favorite Republican, and I have to admit I'd rather see him there in as president than any of the other Republicans. But as a Democrat, he actually could win. I actually think that he could beat almost any of the Democrats running, and that scares me. So I'm glad that he's losing. He's been dead wrong on Iraq. I do think he's a man with integrity, but he's terrible on all our issues. People don't talk about McCain's awful views on, say, gay rights or women's rights, or, you know, health care or education, all the things that we Democrats care about. Okay, I will grant you I think McCain's an honest man, unlike the others. But that's not enough. So all the Republicans scare me. I like all the Democrats. And part of me is just sort of sitting back. Now, I know as someone in Washington, I'm supposed to pick a horse. I can't decide. But if you have a candidate and you want to say why you support that candidate, let me know. Go on the blog, all at RadioInsideScoop.com. And do not miss tomorrow's show when I'm taking on a Christian theologian on the divinity of Jesus. I should have my head examined. We'll see how it goes tomorrow, Inside Scoop. Don't miss it. This is Mark Levine. I don't know.
This is the Quality News Network. The White House is defending its response to Congress about the CIA's destruction of videotapes that showed harsh interrogation tactics used on terror suspects. The New York Times reported that four or more White House attorneys took part in talks with the CIA about whether those tapes should be destroyed. White House officials say that the Times story is wrong in terms of their intimation that officials close to the Oval Office tried to keep the story quiet. Late last night, the Senate approved a $555 billion spending measure, providing funding for 14 federal agencies and $70 billion for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Already approved by the House, the bill now goes to the President for signing. On Capitol Hill, Congress passed legislation strengthening the Freedom of Information Act. Penalties have also been enhanced for agencies violating the Act's provisions. In Jacksonville, Florida, city fire officials say three people are missing and feared dead in an explosion that rocked a chemical plant today. The plant manufactures Ecotain, a gasoline additive that reduces tailpipe emissions. According to the lab's website, authorities are investigating the blast site for cause. In Baghdad, U.S. diplomatic and military officials are protesting this week's Turkish air invasion into northern Iraq. Turkey is supposed to ask permission from the U.S. to cross into Iraqi airspace. Authorities say they weren't informed until the airstrikes had already begun.